Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, then He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and this program's about a process that I call diaprax, which is in direct diabolical opposition to those scriptures. Diaprax is simply the combining of two words, the dialectic process, which is a way of thinking, today called a paradigm, or used to be a Weltanschauung, a German word, and praxis. Praxis is simply a way of acting. It's to practice, and in this case, it is to praxis the dialectical process. Now, what that means is, we're going to change. They call it a paradigm shift, but it's not. It's actually a paradigm change. We're going to change from a patriarchal paradigm, which is not dialectic, to what's called a heresiarchal paradigm, which is dialectic. Now, the difference between the two is that in a patriarchal paradigm, you have absolutes. In other words, there's a top-down system. It's a biblical structure. And it deals with contrast. The contrast we find in the Word of God is when God says, I'm from above and you're from below. Therefore, there's an understanding of right and wrong. And the language that goes with a patriarchal paradigm is the two words, is and not. And it's even applied in the laws of nature. We can say 2 plus 2 is 4 and cannot be any other number. It's applied in the traditional patriarchal home. I am the parent, and you are not. It's applied to your property rights. This is my land and not your land. See, God says, my ways are not your ways, neither your thoughts, my thoughts. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So that's a dialectical paradigm. Excuse me, that's a didactic paradigm. Now, Jesus reflected a didactic paradigm all through his life. He said, what my Father commands, that's what I do. He who does my Father's will in heaven is my brother, my sister, my mother. And so we find this top-down contrast system in the Word of God, and it was reflected in our culture, a patriarchal culture, that we then produced a constitutional republic form of government from. Now, what is excluded from this deductive didactic paradigm is the controlling factor of feelings. In other words, when you're told to do something, you might not feel like doing it, but whoever is in authority has control over the situation, and therefore it is your responsibility to obey that authority. Now, all authority is of God. Now, that's important to understand because Romans 13:1 says, yield to the higher power, but that's an improper translation of the Greek word for authority. If you yield to the higher power, then that's the sword. So whoever carries the sword, you have to do whatever they tell you to do for conscience sake. But if you yield to the higher authority, all authority is of God. So if that man is using that authority above below, for himself, which is just below, he is a tyrant. And therefore, you can disobey a tyrant. Now, you might suffer or die for doing so, but you at least die with a clear conscience. There's no confusion. And so that's really the way you can tell the difference between legitimate government and tyranny. Because anybody in an office who uses the office for themselves, all authority is from God, and if they use it for themselves, they then are usurping the purpose of the office, which is to protect you, to serve you, and to punish those who are wrong according to the law. But if they're using the office for themselves, then they are a tyrant. Now, this can be the highest office in the land, or it can be in the home. Whenever you discipline a child, you're getting them to get themselves under control. A two-year-old has an office. And if they're using that office for themselves, they're a tyrant. And so you teach them self-control to deny themselves, humble themselves, that's biblical, to get themselves under control. And so the patriarchal, didactic, now that's a top-down, it's didactic is simply learning facts, and it carries with it a chastening. Now, if there's right and wrong, then chastening is a part of that, because we have a tendency to follow our natural inclination. In other words, something in the environment draws us to relate with it. We head in that direction. The parent has predetermined that relationship with that object is wrong, because they know what's right and they know what's wrong, and then they intercept our praxis to bond with the environment based upon our feelings, because the environment stimulates dopamine. Dopamine is pleasure and a chemical our body naturally produces, stimulated from the environment. The mind then is engineered by God to approach pleasure in its temporal structure, and so we look into the environment, and we therefore chase into the environment to get more of whatever it was that produces pleasure. That's the law of the flesh. Now the parent then intercepts that self-environment dialectical love fest, that group hug with the environment, the cosmic forces, and says, cannot, must not, thou shalt not. So now we have a top-down system, a patriarchal didactic system, and we learn truth. So we have to get control of our feelings that the environment stimulates. So it's not against feelings, it's just that you have to control them. You have to learn to get yourself under control. This is what self-government is all about. Now, in the last few programs, I've been explaining Abraham Maslow and his hierarchy of felt needs. And his whole structure of thought, he died in 1971, but he is popular around the world. His felt needs, see, the dopamine needs, the emotion is now as viable as any property you have. It used to be, this is my land and not your land. Now it's, this is my feelings, and therefore you have no right. Just like you would say, you have no right on my property, you have no right to hurt my feelings. And so that's the affective domain. And I've talked about Bloom's taxonomies, the affective domain, where Bloom says we must use affective objectives. This is page 54. To get the students to challenge their fixed beliefs. In other words, to challenge the structure of thought their parents had raised them to think, that didactic paradigm, in the home, and to get them to question. See, we had in the 60s and the 70s, question authority, question everything. That's called critical theory. That's directly tied to the verbiage of Karl Marx. And so, getting back to Maslow and his book Maslow on Management, he died in 1971, but his book was republished, his material, in 1998. And last program, I talked about his statement here, partnership is the same as synergy. In other words, to move people away from their differences, because you come in with a position, somebody else with an opposing position, and we're not going to build relationship on that if you all hold your position, is a not language. So I have to find something that we can all agree on. And what we can all agree on is our dissatisfaction. See, just as when you were chasing the wall, see, to write on the wall, you were bonding with Mother Earth to get some more dopamine, some more pleasure. The parent came along and said, you can't do it. Now, there's a dissatisfaction from that. Something interfered with your love fest, with the environment. Now, this can correlate with people. It can correlate with belongings in this world. It's the love of the world. All that's of the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life is from the world. It is not from God. God is a patriarchal paradigm. This is called actually a heresiarchal paradigm, which means change. You notice that whenever you do something, you get bored after a while because you just run out of the dopamine. The environment has already satiated your inner feelings, and therein you're looking for something new to trigger some more pleasure to trigger more pleasure. In other words, it's not the things in the environment that you're in love with. The things in the environment stimulate dopamine in your body. That's what you're in love with. So it runs low after a while. In other words, it's satiated. It's done as much as you're going to get out of whatever it was in the environment that stimulated it. So you're looking for something new. And so that's change. That's the whole concept of change. A socialist, democratic, communist, globalist system lives off of change. That's how you make people slaves. In other words, you make them dependent upon their feelings. And once they're dependent upon their feelings for purpose, for meaning in life, then all you have to do is remove things from the environment that hurt their feelings, remove elements from the environment that don't provide them feelings, and they will go into pain. And then you offer them things in the environment that will satisfy their feelings, and then they will follow you. Whoever makes me feel good, I will follow. And therein, you destroy a didactic, patriarchic, deductive, which means you start with a premise, you use proper logic, and your outcome has to match the premise. In other words, your behavior in life has to match the preset standards that you were taught. Remember, when you're chastened, it's grievous for a season. But what it does is it produces a peaceful fruit of righteousness. In other words, after a while, you come to realize, once you get your feelings out of the way, that it's an issue of right and wrong. And we come back to a patriarchal paradigm. And that's the role of the parent. The role of the traditional family is to intercept and to inculcate. That means to beat it into them, maybe not physically, but to just repeat it over and over and over until they finally get it, that they're not to live by the law of the flesh, but that there is objective truth above man's subjective truth, that our life experience and our feelings that go with that are not the basis for truth. Well, Bloom says in his book, first book, Cognitive Domain, that truth and knowledge is only relative, and that there are no lasting truths for all times and all places. Well, he simply paraphrased Karl Marx, who says, in the eyes of the dialectical philosophy, nothing is established for all times, nothing is absolute or sacred, and therein you, as a parent, do not have the right to interfere with your child's natural inquiry into the environment. You don't have the right to tell them, cannot, must not, thou shalt not, and use force to intercept their bonding with Mother Earth, Gaia, and the cosmic forces. So you see the consequence of the use of the dialectical process in society. And its main agenda is to destroy the home. Because the traditional home interferes, it blocks the development of the dialectical process. Because when your child does something that's wrong and you chasten them, you're teaching them there is right and there is wrong. Now, according to psychology, you just produce neurosis. Neurosis is a result of you interfering with your commands. You're the author of a law. And your force upon your child, insisting that he obey your commands, which may not and probably don't at the time mean anything to him. In other words, he's really not getting pleasure out of your commands. In fact, they're rather painful because they're preventing him from getting what he really considers is pleasurable from the earth. He's in love with the creation. But you're giving him a structure that he needs to love the Creator. In other words, there is objective truth above his sensuous, carnal nature. And according to the social psychologists, again, that is the cause of neurosis in psychology and alienation in sociology. Now, if you study Karl Marx, the whole objective of Marxism was to remove alienation and reification. Now, reification was simply you living with those standards and then insisting others around you live with those standards. And alienation is the result of others not wanting to follow your standards. And therein, your standards that you acquired from your parents divide you. In other words, your standards, the commands you receive from God, divide you from human relationship. And so the whole agenda of the dialectic is to undo this quote-unquote damage that God and parent have done to you. Marx put it this way. The traditional family, once you realize the traditional family is God's secret, then the traditional family must be annihilated, both in theory, that's in thinking, in the child's thinking, and in practice, that's the environment around him. And what he meant by that is, once you realize this pattern in the traditional home that teaches children there is right and wrong, and they chasten the child when they do what's wrong, and that then is reflected in God's paradigm, it's the very same paradigm. Now, for the parents, it's for their pleasure, but for God, it's for the hope of eternal life for whoever is being chastened. And the direct correlation there is a patriarchal paradigm. So Marx, realizing this, said, okay, now this structure, now he rejected God, he hated God, God because of his patriarchal paradigm. He gave us commands that we are accountable to him. Doesn't matter how you feel or what you think. It's what God says. It is written. It's impossible to please God without faith. It doesn't mean it's impossible to please God without sensuous experience. No, it says faith. You have to accept God as is and obey him. That's the same condition that a child faces in the traditional home, that he has to accept the standards of the parent and learn to obey. Now, all authority is a given of God, so if the parent is using that office as a tyrant for themselves, and a child is old enough to realize that, you know, according to God's word, that parent is asking them to do what's wrong, they have the right to say, no, parent, I will not do what you're telling me to do because you're asking me to do something that is not of God, that is not put into your office for you to serve and to apply into my life. And therein the child might suffer, but that is the only out. Children, obey your parents, but it says, in the Lord. So again, all authority is of God. That's deductive, didactic, patriarchal paradigm. The dialectic is to shift, actually change that paradigm and incorporate feelings as the basis, the channel, the influence to draw man to man and overcome this top-down patriarchal system. So having that understanding, when Maslow in management says partnership is the same as synergy, that has major ramifications. This word synergy is showing up even in the churches. Church growth uses the word synergy. He writes, the problem for the accountant. Now, we're talking about adding things up. You know, an accountant has to have real material things there. The whole sequence of events in Genesis 3, 1 through 6, which is dialectic, was Satan had to create an environment, an experiential chasm, where, in this case, the woman was allowed freedom to question authority without a sense of guilt, without a negative balance, without a fear of consequence. It's called role-playing today. That was developed by J.L. Moreno. He was a Marxist from Vienna, Austria, came to the United States, very popular, traveled around the world. Now we have federal agents role-playing, practicing a Marxist system, undoing a top-down patriarchal system, undoing the conscience. And so what Satan did was create this safe zone where Eve could allow her feelings. Remember, she said, it's a paraphrase, her opinion. She could share her opinion. Now, remember when the parent tells the child to take the garbage out, and the child doesn't feel like doing it, and the child turns around and says, well, I don't feel like doing it, the parent then will take care of the child's feelings, which means, in essence, the child has an opinion about this event. They have an opinion about what the parent is telling them to do. An opinion always incorporates your feelings, your senses that tie with the environment, touch, taste, sight, smell, sound. There are always a correlate with approaching pleasure and avoiding pain. And so when the child turns to the parent and says, well, I don't feel like going out, now the parent will take care of the child's feelings. Now, that used to be in the parent's hands, but then it got into education, which meant now we have an environment where the child can share the dissatisfaction of the system. See, originally it starts, well, you're just dissatisfied with having to do something you don't feel like doing. But the real agenda of the dialectical process is to bring the child to the point that they resent the patriarchal, didactic, deductive way of thinking itself. And so that's the very same pattern that Satan threw at Eve in the garden. And we find that she gives her opinion. Satan sets her up with a neurolinguistic sentence structure embedded semantic in a question. I've covered this many times. And she responds then with her opinion, which always incorporates whatever it is in the environment you want to relate with. There's this want to be. That's the dopamine, the want to. And so therein, there's dissatisfaction. And with an opinion, you get to share it. See, but you see, when the traditional parent tells you to do something and you start to share your opinion, they say, you know, be quiet. Because in what you're doing is you're saying, well, why? In other words, you give me your opinion, I'll give you my opinion, we'll dialogue about it. But the parent cuts the dialogue out. Dialogue is compromise. Dialogue is not preaching and teaching. You're teaching, you're inculcating, you're telling them this is right and that's not. And if they get you into dialogue, they have changed the paradigm. And so the parent stops this tyranny of their office with, because I said so. Now, I'm not saying you don't dialogue with your children, but I'm just saying there are times that you do not. When there is right and there is wrong, you can instruct, you can explain further. The child may not be able to understand. That's not the issue. They have a brain to remember things with, memory. But there again, whenever you memorize stuff, you notice that after a while, the dopamine's gone, the feelings are gone, you don't really like doing it, and what you have to do is learn to get control over yourself. You have an office, and you're learning that self has to be subject to the truth, to the commands from a higher authority. Well, when we use the word synergy, it is directly tied to the energy that comes from people's feelings. And therein is a destruction of this patriarchal right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell paradigm. Marx understood it. And so therein he said through theory, which is dialogue, people sharing their opinions, and practice or praxis, which meant the environment has to be such that you do not sense a fear of judgment from higher authority telling you what's right and wrong. So when Satan got Eve to share her opinion, and then she said, for God has said, thou shalt not eat of it, nor touch it. There's her dissatisfaction. I ought to be able to touch it. There's the desire for the dopamine, something in the environment. The parent said, oh, you can't write on that wall. You can't do that. And then she said, lest ye die. See, and so there's the authority of the parent. You're going to be punished. You're going to be held accountable. And then Satan says, oh, you won't be held accountable. That's role-playing. See, that's the purpose of role-playing. And so now Eve is in this safe zone because she should have. If she hadn't shared her natural inclination to relate with the environment, her ought to be, her love of dopamine, the environment stimulates it, but she loves it. If she hadn't shared that, her response when Satan said, you will not die, would have been, I will too die, because her mind would have been on things above. But he changed the environment, the thoughts of her mind, to where now she was focusing on her heart's desire. See, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so therein, she is now able to freely critique the environment and analyze the environment for herself to determine what's right and wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell. But now she is free to incorporate her feelings. This is the law of the flesh. This is the lust of the flesh. Now she goes to the lusts of the eyes because she looks at the tree. She saw perception. It's good for food. All the trees are good for food. So her perception was correct. physiologically or physically, there was nothing wrong with that tree, that forbidden tree. It was forbidden because God said it was forbidden. It was not something that would damage their flesh, but God was the one who's going to take care of that, because the issue was obedience. It could have been any item. But what happened was, when she looked at the tree and said, it's good for food, now it's good. It's pleasing to the eyes. She's evaluating. She's going, oh, it's good for the eyes. And now it's desirous to make one wise. It's a good tree. Because God's good, therefore, to be like God, that would be good. So therefore, it's a good tree. But the issue is, once she, through her material, this is dialectical materialism right here. Do you understand this? She's doing Karl Marx right here. Because she has a sensuous need, that's the touch, sense perception. She's looking into the environment, analyzing and saying, there's nothing wrong in the environment. And therefore, if there's nothing wrong with this tree, whatever it is I wanted to write on, it will not hurt me. Therein, the parent's command is irrelevant. And once the parent's command becomes irrelevant, see, nonsense, non-human, irrational, unreasonable, insensible. You ever been in a meeting and called negative, divisive, hateful, intolerant, prejudiced, maladjusted, low-order thinker, an aggressor, a blocker, a dominator, a special interest pleader? That's just somebody who went down the same road the woman in the garden went down with Satan. They're not interested in truth. They're not interested in right and wrong in a patriarchal paradigm. They're only interested in what they can get out of the environment, what they can get out of the relationship with you. They like you. They get dopamine because for some reason they look at you and they like you and they want to relate, and therein is the dopamine. But you come in and you bring a cannot, must not, thou shalt not, and you interfere with their bonding with you. And so they put pressure on you. You know, if they happen, you have to catch them alone and you're sharing the truth, they'll glaze over because, see, they have no defense. Because you're preaching and teaching. They can't get you into dialogue. And so this key of synergy, this word synergy, is the energy of synthesis. The energy of people putting aside truth for the sake of a relationship. Well, we're already running out of time on this segment. And I'll pick it up on the other side. This is Dean Gocher, and I encourage you to get on my website, authorityresearch.com, and check this information out. I've just put out a new article. It's on civil disobedience and the effect of the dialectical process upon the home.